2 Kings chapter 7. Besieged Samaria. So you understand is that in the southern end of Judah, the northern end you have Israel, and between that there's a region considered Samaria. Syria is off to the east, but Syria's king Ben-Hadad invaded and besieged Samaria, which means, and you know, understanding these towns, the way they built them with gates, they're secured, but they came up against them and they wouldn't let them come out or go in. So they're locked in, which is fine, right? How many of you love being at home, right? Lock the doors, Brer Rabbit. Oh, please don't throw me in the briar patch, right? So being at home, and so you can't go out, well, that's okay. We live here anyway, but there's a problem. What's the problem? The problem's a famine. The problem is such a severe famine that it was a desperate situation. They couldn't provide for themselves. So since they couldn't provide for themselves, they had to figure out how to get out and get help, but they couldn't get out and get help because Syria, King Ben-Hadad, was standing at the gate and would not let them come out or anybody else go in. So they couldn't get supplies. They couldn't recover from this famine. And chapter 6, you can read that and kind of see how bad it is. It talks about how it's so expensive. Even to the point where there was a woman who came to the king of Israel was walking on the gate, and she said, King, help. What's wrong? She said, well, my friend and I made this deal. See, yesterday she said if we could eat my son, then today we'd eat hers. And so we ate mine yesterday, and now she won't give up hers. That's how severe it was. All right, that's awful, isn't it? So the king blamed Elisha, right? Because it's always the preacher's fault. It doesn't matter what's wrong, it's the preacher's fault. How many of you know that? Amen, that's right. Always the preacher's fault. And so we see how people can exaggerate and make everything somebody's fault. Here, they say it's Elisha's fault. So the king of Israel sends a messenger, and he says, I'm going to kill Elisha. And the messenger runs to the house. He gets to the house. Elisha's sitting at dinner with the elders. He says, y'all don't believe what's about to happen here. They said, what? Said, that son of a murderer is sending a messenger right now, and the plan is to kill me, to cut my head off. And that's where we pick up. Chapter 7, verse 1. Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel. Now, hold on just a second. Today, all right, the day he says this, a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung sells for 5 pieces of silver. And he says that tomorrow about this time, you'll be able to buy a measure of fine flour, a shekel. That's a tremendous difference. Remember what happened to prices this year? That's the difference, except reversed, right? I mean, it went from being very affordable to very expensive. And here, it went from being very expensive, Elisha says, but tomorrow it's going to turn around. Elisha says, everything's going to change in a day. Tomorrow, about this time. That's one day. Guys, we need to realize everything can change in one day. Everything. In one day. By the way, that can go either direction. But what we have today does not necessarily mean it's what we're going to have tomorrow. What we miss today does not necessarily mean we'll miss it tomorrow. Everything can turn around. Everything can change in one day. Think about it. Think about how your life changed. You met somebody. Now, maybe that's the person you're married to. You say, I met them, and then that was just that one day it changed everything. Well, it did. Maybe it took 6 months to finally get her to go out with you, but that one day when you met changed it. Or when you got a job, that one day, that moment, something changed. Or you had a new perspective. You learned something. Something changed. in one day, everything can turn around. Guys, that's why it's so important to have hope. That's why it's so important not to give up. That's why it's so important to maintain God's path and God's plan, not quit. You say, yeah, but I've been not quitting for a long time and it still hadn't changed. Don't quit yet, because it can all change in one single day. Elisha says in one day, tomorrow about this time, it's all going to be different. A measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel. 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. The same place where we just heard about these desperate women, these desperate who they're dying and even turning to the point of eating what none of us would want to eat. They're locked in desperation, but Elisha says tomorrow it's going to be different. Tomorrow, right here at this gate, it's all going to be different. That's hope. Guys, when we have hope, again, why is it there? Somebody said to me the other day, said, I like your mask. I said, thank you. You know, the hope, love, forgiveness. He said, I know that's in the Bible, right? The greatest of these is love. I said, that's not what this is about. 1 Corinthians 13, now abideth faith, hope, charity, but the greatest of these is. Well, hold on a second. What's hope, love, and forgiveness? That's what makes us thrive. All three. We cannot thrive in life. I mean, we've got to have forgiveness for yesterday, love for today, and hope for tomorrow. And I know y'all know that's what it is. But here, they had hope. They didn't have hope. By the way, guess what? There's someone sitting at that table who, even with this hopeful message, with this prophecy of good news, there's one at the table who says, no way. Look at it. Verse 2, a lord on whose hand the king leaned. So in other words, this is somebody, he is a counselor, an advisor to the king. Okay, which means he hangs around with the king. What is the king's attitude toward Elisha? It's all Elisha's fault. Right? So here's somebody sitting at Elisha's table, eating with Elisha, breaking bread, enjoying fellowship, and Elisha says something, and yet that influence that we could tell who he's been hanging around with, because he has an attitude toward the king. Let me tell you something, or toward Elisha. Even if he didn't believe Elisha, if he had the right attitude, he wouldn't have corrected him at the table around everybody, right? He might have thought, well, I don't see how that could be true, but he would not have said that against the man of God with everybody else. Might have come to him afterward and said, Elisha, you sure you should have said that in front of everybody? But he had disregard. He had disrespect, really, what it boiled down to. So the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make the windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, shall not eat thereof. Oh, he says, I mean, this sounds like something only could go on in God's presence in heaven. And if God had windows there, I mean, how could we see such great things? Elisha said, I'll tell you what, you'll see it, you won't get to enjoy it. You know why? Because that's what negativity and doubt does. Guys, while there are some people saying it can't be done, there's other people getting it done. And we've got to stop holding back and trying to be so safe all the time and not take any risk at all, because there's risks. No matter what we do, there's risks. And so don't be scared to live. Don't be scared to do big things and great things and what you want to do. Again, of course, godly things. I'm not saying go out and do something crazy, like handling snakes. We would never say that, right? Right? We don't believe in all that. So you don't have to go to that extreme. But something, I mean, don't be afraid to live. Don't be afraid to step out in faith. The doubter will see it. Watch it happen, but not enjoy it. That's what holds it. Look, there are people out there who are enjoying the benefits of success, but there were people in their lives that told them it couldn't be done. Let me ask you a question. Do you think those people who said it can't be done are enjoying the benefits of what got done. No, they see it, but they're not enjoying the benefits of it. They were asked to be a partner. They were asked to be involved. They were asked to be part of the team. But they said, it'll never work. And so guess what? It didn't work for them, but it worked for others. Think about that. So Elisha makes this prophecy incredible, unbelievable. What if I were to tell you that here tomorrow, and by the way, that's not a prophecy. What if I were to tell you tomorrow there's going to be free gas everywhere? Wherever you go, you can just fill up your truck, your lawnmower, your boat, whatever. Just go get as much as you want. How many of you would say, that preacher's lost his mind? That's the same thing. It's an incredible, unbelievable prophecy. Just won't happen. It's impossible. But see, what's impossible now is always possible with God. God can do anything he wants to do. And Elisha doesn't speak out of turn. He only speaks this because God spoke it into his heart. That's the end of that part. Verse 3. There were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. So lepers. Oh, stop reading. So these lepers, what do we know about lepers? Well, lepers, you know, they had this condition, this disease, and it was considered contagious. It was considered that anything they touched was contagious. And so they had to stay away from everybody else. They had to announce themselves when they walked down the road, I'm a leper, stand back, or ring a bell. They had to stay away because everybody was kind of like this social distancing we're dealing with now. Right? Stay away, I'm contagious. Right? Now all you got to do is cough or sneeze and people get away from you. They had to announce themselves. And so these four leprous men, everybody is avoiding them. Everybody's pushed them away. By the way, it was accepted. It wasn't like they were the only ones that were treated that way. They were all treated that way. But there are four of them. They're at the gate. And one of them has a great idea. You know what he said? He said, I'm starving. And if we don't do something, we're going to sit right here and die. Because nobody's going to help us because nobody's got any help to give. You see that? Why sit, verse 3, last phrase, why sit we here till we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. So he says if we go in the city, they might not have any food. And if we stay here, we don't have any food. So we can either die here or we could die there. Okay, so far you got it. Now therefore, come, let us fall to the host of the Syrians. Hey, he said, look, there's no food in Samaria. Why do that? But I tell you what we do. If we go to the camp of the Syrians, they've got food. And if we go over there, maybe they'll arrest. I mean, that was their hope. Their hope was to be taken prisoner. Maybe they'll make us prisoners, and guess what they'll do with the prisoners? They'll feed the prisoners. He says, and if we get there and they kill us, oh, well, we die. We're going to sit here, we're going to die anyway. You have to look at what the outcome is going to be. What are the possibilities? But the guy says to his friends, if we sit here, we're sure to die. Let's do something. Let's try to do something to change our situation. Now, how many of us have ever been there in life where you said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm not just going to sit here and rot away. I'm not just going to sit here and do nothing. And that's what these four lepers decided. They said, what do we have to lose? We don't have to remain where we are. Boy, look at that in a spiritual sense. What happens if we decide to be Jesus? What happens if we decide that we're going to be 100% sold out for God? We're going to be Bible thumpers. We're going to be evangelists. We're going to sing hallelujah and praise the Lord. And we're going to shout and we're going to sing and we're going to dance. And we're going to be the light everywhere we go. The light of the world. What would happen? You say people are going to think we're crazy. People think you're crazy anyway. So why not go ahead and show them how crazy? Why not just go ahead and You know, we just might enjoy it. We just might encourage somebody. We might change somebody's future. Somebody might get saved. Somebody might be encouraged. Somebody might be inspired. If we're willing to step out, or we can just sit here and die. Isn't that what they said? Why sit we here till we die? Let's do something. Let's do something to improve our situation. Let's go somewhere. Let's do something. Let's at least look. Let's at least try. And so, verse 5, they rose up in the twilight, go to the camp of the Syrians. They were come to the uttermost of the camp of Syria. There was no man there. They kept looking, and there were no sentries, there were no guards, there was nobody. They walked all the way through the camp, nobody. And they were hoping to get arrested, nobody to arrest them. They were hoping to be prisoners, nobody to make them. They were thinking at least maybe somebody would kill them. There's nobody there to even kill them. So what'd they do? They ate, didn't they? Verse 6, it tells us what happened. It said the Lord had made the noise, had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, the noise of a great. And the Syrians said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." He said, that king of Israel, he's gotten some help. And they're on the way. We hear them coming. Let's get out of here. Verse 7, they arose and fled in the twilight. They left their tents. They left their horses, even the camp as it was, and they fled their lives. I mean, they took off. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, verse 8, they went into one tent, and they did eat and drink. They carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and they went and hid it. They went, they said, hey, let's. And then they came into another tent. And they repeated it. They carried that stuff away also. I mean, hey, hold on a second. Earlier in the day, right? Yesterday, Elisha says, in a day, everything's going to change. This afternoon, four lepers sat around and said, man, we got to change our situation. We got to do something. Let's do something. Let's not just sit here. Let's try something. Even if it costs us everything, we've got nothing left anyway. Let's do something. And they get there and got what? They got full bellies, right? And they got clothes. And they got silver. And they got gold. And everything changed in one afternoon. Wow. Wow. You see, it's just that quick. Guys, it's about hope. It's about action. It's about trying. But if we just sit back and say, God, bless me, that's not how it works. He's going to bless our effort. He's going to empower our effort. And so these lepers found more than they had ever expected. But then something happened in verse number 9. They said one to another, we do not well. This day is a good day of tidings. A day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, let us come that we may go and tell the king's household. They say, guys, it's not right for us to be greedy and to hoard all of this for ourselves. We need to go tell our friends. We need to go tell the king. We need to go tell our countrymen. Guys, they're hungry. We're full. They're hungry. Let's help. Let's share. Let's be generous. Let's be givers. Well, they used their good fortune to help others. They went and told the king. The messenger went to the king and they said, hey, guess what? There's these four lepers. They just came from the Syrian camp. They said the Syrians are gone. Said they've strode clothes and stuff from here to the river. Said they've run off. Something happened. We don't know what happened, but they were running and just kept dropping stuff as they ran. And now these lepers say they've eaten all they could, and there's plenty left. These lepers say there's gold and silver and raiment to be found, and they've got all they want. But there's plenty more for everybody else. They said, what do you want to do, king? Verse number 12. The king says, it's a trick. It's a trick. I'll tell you what's happened. Those Syrians are waiting. They've made it look like they're not there, but they're there. And if they start going that way, they're going to jump us. Right? That's what he said, because he's a doubter. Remember that advisor? The king leans. He is a doubter. The king's a doubter. There's doubters. Doesn't matter where you go. You know what I noticed about these four lepers? There was not a doubter among them. There was not one of them that said, y'all, the three of y'all can go, but I'm staying. I'm getting myself in trouble. No, all four of them went. You know why? Because they didn't have anything to lose. These people, the king and his advisor, they're trying to protect, but the truth is they can't save it anyway. Guys, we're trying to save stuff we can't save anyway. We've got to take the risk. Well, the king says it's a trick, and one of the servants said, well, shouldn't we at least go check it out? I mean, wouldn't you even just go look? Can't we send somebody, even somebody we don't like, and just get them to go look and see if it's true? All right. Verse number 13, that's explained. Verse number 14, they took therefore two chariots. The king sent after the host of Syrians, saying, go and see. They went after them to the Jordan. All the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. Huh. It was exactly like the lepers had told them. The people went out, verse 16, and they spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So guess what? A measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel. And two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of Elisha. Is that what it says in your Bible? According to the word of the Lord. Guys, understand, this was not Elisha. The king of Israel blamed Elisha, the preacher. Hey, this is a preacher that just did what God told him to do. There's plenty of preachers you can be mad at, but not one that does what God tells them to do. Not one that is the mouthpiece of God like Elisha was. It was the word of the Lord, according to the word of the Lord. And the king, verse 17, appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned, that advisor, the same one who was sitting at Elisha's table the day before, to have the charge of the gate. And the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died. Why? Doubter. Because he is a doubter. Elisha says, you don't believe it's going to happen? I'll tell you what. You'll get to see it. But you won't get to enjoy it. Wow. And just what Elisha said came true. Exactly like he said it would. I tell you, we got to trust the man of God when he's speaking on behalf of God, the word of God. And so it explains that in verse number 18 and verse 19 and verse 20. It fell out unto him, for the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died. One day changed everything. One afternoon changed everything. One misstatement about what God would do and could do and was going to do changed everything. We got to stop being such good analysts and doubters and start being encouragers, inspiring, bringing people up, giving people hope. Giving them something to look forward to. Doubt and fear can paralyze us in desperation where we're in a situation that's impossible to enjoy but afraid to change it because we're too comfortable. We need to take risks and defy our fears and change our circumstances. Whose circumstances got changed? Because one leper who had nothing to lose said, I got nothing to lose. I'm going to go for it. And then he came back and told the king, everybody's day was changed. You see, that's what happens when we risk, take risk and defy fear and share. Can't let the devil and the discouragers and the doubters determine our path. Because if we were not going to be able to enjoy the goodness, the gifts of God. You know, when it comes to faith, there are people who say, well, I don't know if I can believe in God. I don't know if there's really a God out there. But here's what that leper said. You got nothing to lose. I mean, walk in. Why don't you walk in the gate and see if God embraces you? I had a good friend. He's passed now, but he used to say, I just don't know if God can forgive me. I said, do me this favor. Ask God to forgive you and leave it up to Him. You see, that's what happens. We doubt that God can forgive us. But just ask. Just trust Him. Ask Him. And leave it up to Him. Let's stand. Father, we love You so much, and we're thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight and open Your Word. And the irony, the humor, the blessings. God, to see that we've got to take some risks. That we can't just be paralyzed by fear and by doubt. Because it gets to a point where we believe it. We've got to be able to get rid of those negative, doubting thoughts. Have faith. God, we put our faith in You. And we pray that You will show us what to do with it. Forgive our sins. Make us useful to Your purpose. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.